a bite-sized chunk of your favourite show, the Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
People might think chess is boring, but it's not. If you actually know the rules, what a great game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's kind of like checkers, but a little bit more involved.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And
it's got a horse.
It's got a horse. That is really, really cool. Of course, there's been a couple of controversies over the past couple of years that you might remember. One of the big ones was the Carlson-Neiman controversy.
Oh, the old Carlson-Neiman controversy, of course.
In which there were cheating concerns and some people had suggested there may have been some internal buzzing device that was used to then cheat and gain advantage in winning chess.
Mm.
The chess world itself seems a bit darker than what it alludes to. And a lot of these cheating scandals have come out over the journey. But I saw this story from Russia and I'm like, okay. This is female chess championship that was happening. Amina Abrakova, she was walking into the tournament and she was ready to face one of her biggest rivals.
Cool.
Right?
Okay.
And they were playing in a chess tournament that had multiple tables there and all this type of
stuff. I've seen the Queen's Gambit. I know how it works.
Exactly, right? Yep. Queen's Gambit, great. Anyway, she was playing Umagnet Osmanova.
You had a go.
And apparently these two have been fighting for years.
Ooh,
they've
rivals.
Been big chess rivals,
sure.
Right? And apparently Osmanova has been saying some stuff.
Oh, talking smack.
Some sass talk,
amazing.
Right?
Yes.
So Abrakova gone into this tournament thinking, all right, I'm going to do this for me, for my family, because you've been talking smack and I'm not into it.
I'm going
right?
to do a Osmanova.
Yeah. So then they sat down, they were playing the game, and then Osmanova, she approached the table, sitting there, and then she got really dizzy.
Oh.
And she was like, okay, and they were still playing, and then she started feeling like she was going to throw up.
It's Russia,
so,
right?
Yeah, in
nerve
Russia.
Agent. I'm calling nerve agent.
So what happened is that they called it off. The hospital was called because she was like visibly sick.
Yeah.
Right? Got taken out of the tournament, and Abrakova's kind of like, oh, well, isn't that... That's a shame, that one, isn't it?
It sucks to be you.
Sucks to be you. Turns out that people were like, well, that's weird. I mean, that doesn't normally happen, right?
Yeah.
So they were asking some questions. They're like, what's going on? And Abrakova's like, no idea.
That's
all news to me.
So weird.
But it turns out that before the tournament, she was going around asking people, hey, are there cameras?
Yeah.
The cameras? Are they? I know there's cameras in there, but are they switched on?
That doesn't
moment?
Make you seem guilty at all,
right? And they're like, the people are like, no, they're not switched on. They're not switched on until the game starts. And
right.
She's like, well, that's just perfect for no particular reason.
Great.
Right? Great. Anyway, but it turns out once her rival got really sick, they're like, why don't we just check the cameras?
Yeah.
And what she did was that she poured mercury, straight mercury, onto the other chick's chess pieces.
Great.
And she had a little vial and she was seen looking around like, coast is clear, camera's off, already asked about that, this is great. I'm just going to put it all over her pieces.
Wouldn't the pieces then be shiny silver? Isn't like mercury what's inside the old thermometers?
Yeah, I don't know. That is a great question, but I mean, it's not good.
No.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But whether she brushed it on, I don't know how much is needed for then to affect you.
Mm.
But she was kind of seen, you know, with the vial and the chess pieces. So I imagine it wasn't like enough to be spread everywhere.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It was just.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, your chess pieces are going on her chess piece. Like, you're kind of touching each other.
She's got to grab it. When she takes a piece, she's got to grab it.
Right?
Doesn't she?
So I'm like, what the hell? So anyway, she was fine. Yeah. It turns out that she was like, you've been saying stuff about me and my family and I didn't like it. So I decided to poison you. Chess is crazy.
Yeah.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on K-Rock 955 or online at krock.com.au.
Bit of a warning, bit of a public service announcement for people who drink Kahlua.
Oh, I don't think... There's many.
Well, that's the thing. When was the last time you had Kahlua? Because I reckon I was about 18.
I've got a feeling that I had, the last time I had Kahlua was the first time I tried a cigarette.
Okay, cool. And the last time, because that is definitely a red decision. That's not good behaviour.
No, I know, but you know, sometimes you're like, oh, to be young and free.
When I was coming up and sort of all my mates were drinking, I couldn't drink. So I would either be that guy that sort of...
You couldn't drink or you didn't want to drink?
No, I would go because I would just like it...
You didn't like the taste.
I would get sick. And because I guess I didn't know my limits, or I would just go from 0 to 100.
Yeah.
And just
maybe it was
spewing.
The bottle of Kahlua that you were hanging.
No. So that's
with?
What I would drink if I wasn't the other party favors guy.
Yeah.
Then I was the guy that rocked up with 2 liters of milk and a bottle of Kahlua.
Oh my God, me and you would have so been best friends. Because I used to hang around with a bottle of Bailey's. Yeah. Why? Why did we do this? And be like, milky drinks, anyone? Oh, we are so lame.
Yeah.
No,
so
best
mate.
Friends.
Teenage years.
Oh my
you know,
God.
You got to get through. You just get
I love
through.
Baby Logan Tom.
Yeah. Yeah, we so would have cute. Been. We would have been such good mates.
So cute.
Too bad we met when we were older.
I know, we hate each other.
That's one of my favourite comments we've ever got about the show. I don't know whether it was a comment or a message, but someone was like, you can tell they hate each other. God, you can tell they hate each other. The tension in the studio.
Sometimes.
It's like, mate, I like you more than anybody else in this building.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, stop it.
Can't you tell?
Let's have a Kahlua.
Sure. So do you want this warning about Kahlua?
Yeah, I do. I really do.
It's for vegetarians. Apparently it's not vegetarian. So up until recently, it was considered vegetarian. And so, you know, it was advertised or at least sort of...
Marketed
as being safe for vegetarians to drink. Never vegans.
It's got a bit of milk in it. Or it's like a milky something, I imagine.
Well, it's got to do with how it's made, right? And so let me come on the journey. Come on the Kahlua
journey. I'm scared. I'm
with
scared
me.
To be on the journey. Let's go.
Kahlua explains that it's coffee cherries, which are a safety blanket for the precious beans inside, are grown in the shade, which means they take a lot longer to sprout before they're ready to harvest.
Okay.
The beans are then dried and rested in huge burlap bags for around 6 months, while the rum, made from sugarcane, is extracted, boiled, and mixed with water before the distillation process begins.
Okay, well, that all sounds normal.
After all that time, the beans and rum finally meet back up in Kahlua's distillery in Veracruz, Mexico. The coffee's roasted before being blended with the spirits, and this concoction then rests together for 4 weeks. That, as you say, sounds all pretty above board in general,
but also
for vegetarians.
Yeah.
Wrong! It's the sugar cane. It's how it's...
Why?
How it's produced, how it's refined. They use... bone char to refine the sugar.
Bone char?
So I moved to Outback Queensland for my first radio gig, and the guys out there were like, oh yeah, there's like a factory on the outskirts of town, and where they take all of the animal bones and they toast them, essentially, and then they use that to make white sugar.
What?
Yeah. So to take the colour out of sugar to make it that white, they run it through charred animal bones.
But why are you telling me this?
Because
why?
I don't want you to. You're not vegetarian.
No, I was for a long time.
I'm not telling you. I'm telling the people.
Yeah, I know. The but people. It's like, so what? So they can't have sugar either? Is this what you're saying?
Well, so do your research is what I will say.
do your research.
But essentially,
there's something I'm dropping on you.
No, essentially, the way white sugar gets white is because it's run through charcoal, which is made of animal bones. I've got a photo.
Okay.
Do you want to see?
No, I can see. I've Googled here. The thing is, how do humans, what? Do you know what I mean? Like, who's like,
how do we get here? Yeah.
Let's do this with the, like, okay.
So there's good news, though.
They're making a vegetarian version?
No. Tia Maria. Tia Maria is a vegetarian coffee liqueur.
Oh, wow.
It's a great alternative that won't compromise on taste.
Oh, beautiful. And you can bust out the footy franks at the same time.
I don't know what that means.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6am on K-Rock 955 or online at krock.com.au.
And we are pumped. I mean, a day on the green always come through with the goods, but yes, we are psyched for this one. Absolutely huge. The Script, back for the first time since 2022 with our only Victorian show. It's Saturday, February 1st. Guests Callum Scott, Montaigne, ex-ambassadors Lottie Gallagher. But right now we need to catch up with lead singer of The Script, Danny O'Donoghue. Good morning, Danny.
Hey, guys. How are you doing? You all right?
We are good. We're up and about.
We're pumped. Yeah. We're pumped.
Fair play. Fair play. I mean, yeah, I just landed in Chicago and I'm just chilling out just in some random hotel room in Chicago at the minute, trying to fight off the jet lag. It's pretty hard.
Are you going to get some room service, something delicious?
I just made my own tea, so that's about as luxurious as I get here.
Rock and roll.
Yeah, yeah. Just settle down, Danny. That's a bit too rock star for us.
Whoa, guys.
You guys have been a band for a long time now. Has the way you guys rock out changed over the years?
Yeah, it's not so much. It's like Zimmer frames, you know what I mean? It's like we don't really rock out. We're just like, I'm just... You know what? I guess, yeah, I mean, beforehand, you kind of were like, well, this is our 15 minutes, so let's get hammered for the 15 minutes of fame.
Sure.
And then the 15 minutes turns into a half hour, and then the half hour gives you a pretty long hangover. So we said, well, look, if we're going to do this for life, you got to pace yourself, mate. You got to, you know what I mean? For every tour you do, you need a glass of water afterwards. You know what I mean? It's like, for Jesus, tour the beer analogy, you need a glass of water after every booking, after every tour.
Brilliant.
So yeah. I've been trying to do that now. Yeah, look, you know, we're Irish, we're around, we rock. Yeah, we do. It's really, on The Script, you know, we're really, really hard, hard soft rock.
Well, we obviously are pumped about the fact that you're coming here to Mount Dunedin Estate, but you've played some of the most amazing venues right across the world. One in particular that I love and would be close to your heart, you've played at Croke Park in Dublin, of course, many times. I've been to Croke Park. That is one of the most amazing places when it's packed with people. Yeah. Is that still the special thing, being home in Dublin, being able to play in front of those huge crowds?
Yeah, that's... Because, I don't know, you know, if you're an Australian band, I'm sure playing your biggest stadium would be the most important. I think it always just rings true because when you're in those places, it's, you know, all your family and friends are there and you're almost hoping some of your exes are there as well, you know what I mean? or if not, they've at least been on the blower looking for some free tickets, you know what I'm saying? trying to cash it in. But yeah, like we're blessed in Ireland that we have so many amazing music venues. You know, you've got Marley Park, which is another one, which is just up the road from us. You've got Slane Castle and all of these places where, you know, mega Irish bands have played before. So it's just, we're very blessed to have gotten to play these places. We'd love to do it again, but like I said, you just have to have that moment where the whole country goes, yeah, and all the stars align for you to pull off a great show, particularly in Ireland when it's not, you know, you maybe have like one day a year where it's not raining, so you've got to work it well.
Yeah. Well, when you're coming over in Feb to Mount Dunedin, it could be blindingly hot. It could be raining as well. You never know. The thing is...
So what have I got to expect? How hot are we? Are we talking like snowman in hell here or what?
Yeah. Pretty much. You never quite know in Feb. It's a bit weird, isn't it?
By Feb, usually it's starting to warm up. Feb, March have been the hot months for us of late in the last few years. So chances are just maybe pack some singlets, some T-shirts, some shorts that time.
Get some white feeders, all right.
Some thongs, yeah.
Exactly. But from what I hear, maybe you'll be flying around the stage because you've been doing some practice with Pink. We know Pink for getting on a rig and hooking herself up and flying around. Are you going to try that with us, are you?
Well, if you've seen on socials, you've seen that I actually got the chance to fly around on it, which was amazing. So I've been saying it to her nearly every night. I was like, please let me open it. Please let me open it. They're like, hell no. You know, because... It's probably deceiving, but I'm 6'4", I'm nearly 210 pounds. So I think they were just like, man, if we get you up there, we might not be able to get you down. You got to swing and hanging on the thing. So they were trying to butter my hips up to try and get me in that thing, bro. It was hilarious. So they finally stuck me into it. And then I was like, well, how hard could it be? I mean, how hard? I mean, you know, Pink, she's, you know, she's dainty, she's athletic, yeah. But how hard? I mean, like, come on, got the guns. So the thing just takes off, like, shoots across the stadium. And honestly, the profane language out of my mouth, because I'm Irish as well, they were saying, try not to swear so we can use this in social. And I was literally like, like, just expletives all out. Man, there was, like, potatoes falling out of my pockets. It was really fun. But at the end, so I got down and she came in and hugged. She said, see, it wasn't that hard after all. I said, no, it wasn't. But they must have spent about another 10 minutes trying to, like, turn me upside down to get me out of the rig. Do you know what I mean? I had to, like, I slopped out of it like I was some dog food, or like popped out. I still have some marks on my hips from where I got totally bruised up. So I don't know if you're going to be seen in a script show very soon. I might do like a cross collab, like something like mixture between like Coldplay and Pink, where we should like light up the whole stadium and then I just come flying out like a fireball.
We'd love that.
Sounds like you won't be getting one for the bedroom anytime soon. A swing
for not for the dungeon. That's what we call it now. The boom boom room is now the dungeon.
Stop it.
Hey, Danny, just on a more somber note, I mean, you've got the new music that's coming out next week, which is very exciting.
Sure.
Satellites, a new album.
Sure.
And we're loving the new single. But you lost one of your band members last year in 2023, which obviously has a huge effect on you personally, but also professionally and sure. The sound of the band. Was Mark involved with this new music that we're going to hear? And sort of what significance does it add to this tour and this new music?
Well, I mean, the significance is, I mean, you know, he's always around. You know, even in the thoughts of what the show should be, it's really surreal to try and think of, you know, just him not even being in my life, let alone the career or even been in the studio or on stage. So, you know, the right, everything is different. You know, anybody who's ever lost anybody realizes that, you know, your whole world changes, you know, and it's not even the same world anymore. I don't even can call it a world. It's just some alternative reality where you've gone off. It really still doesn't feel real. So, you know, was he involved in the album? There was one song which he heard, which he really loved, which was the song Satellites, that I know he really, really loved. And although we didn't work on it together, I know he loved that tune and he loved the lyric in it. So for me, moving past, it wasn't necessarily why we called the album Satellites, but the more that I love the album title, him having heard that song, there's a great symmetry to it as well. And also, I know I was never really thinking about it, but someone had brought it up that, like, well, he's a satellite right now. You know, yeah. He's got this beautiful vantage point above the earth where he can look over everything and just make, you know, check over things. And yeah, I mean, what are we all at the end of the day? We're all just pieces of dust floating through space, you know, really.
Yeah.
So Satellites, I think it's an apt name for the title of the album. It's a beautiful, beautiful song as well on there. And yeah, like I said, just, you know, I hope he'd be proud of it. I know he'd like it, you know, for sure. Because at the very end of each song, I was just sitting there going, you know what? What would he do now? And he'd tell me, you go, well, that chorus is shit, write a better one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the whole way along, I've been just, he's been there, or my imagination of him being there was there. So I suppose in a way, yeah, he was involved in the writing, you know.
Yeah, no, beautifully said, Danny. I imagine too, when you're playing new music for the first time and seeing the crowd, a big crowd, respond to that, and, you know, initially like, oh, hang on, what's this song? Do I like it? I'm not sure. But then they start really feeling it. That must be special.
Yeah, it's one of the most special things about this game. And I know, like, obviously you guys, you interview bands all the time, and everybody might be, you know, hyperbole about, you know, what does music mean to you? It means everything. But for me, man, that moment when the crowd connects with a lyric, to me, is like the reason why I'm alive. You know what I mean? I'm a hippie in that way that I love. I think that music can change the world. It changed my world. It changed my life. So when you hear that melody, there's a few melodies that hit a whole stadium that they sing. Mm. Like one of them very early on for us was in a song called For the First Time, that, oh, these times are hard. Yeah, they're making us crazy. Don't give up on a bit. Now, those types of melodies for crowds, they're almost like football chants. So they can't be too, complicated a melody because a whole crowd can't sing it at the same time. Like really ones like, Sweet Caroline, oh, oh, oh. Like, it's, you know what I mean? It's like painting by numbers, but it's something that a crowd gets. So there's, you know, we had that very early on in our career. I tend to write songs now with, at the very end, there's a thing called a coda, which is the second half of the chorus. I tend to write that with the crowd in mind now, which is awesome because, you know, those types of parts, they take the song over, but it's a really beautiful moment, yeah.
Well, as a crowd, we appreciate that. So thank you very much, and we can't wait to see you do
kick
it
off.
Live.
Well, that's what kick shows are, man. If you come along to the show, you know what I mean? You're just going to get us just, you know, singing and dancing, and hopefully everyone has a few drinks and just enjoys the night out.
Yeah, that's the plan. It's Saturday, February 1st at A Day on the Ground, Mount Dunedin Estate, your only Victorian show on the Satellites Tour. We're pumped. Callum Scott coming along with your Montaigne ex-ambassadors, Lottie Gallagher. Tickets go on sale today at midday, so you can jump online and get your hands on those as well. Danny O'Donoghue, thank you so much for your time, and we'll catch up with you when you get here.
Thanks, guys. And honestly, thank you so much for the support over the years as well. We wouldn't be anywhere near where we are without you guys, so we appreciate everything. Thank you.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Why don't you get this podcast again sometime? And listen on air at KROQ 955, weekday mornings from 6.